Good to have everyone with us this morning. You can stay in Exodus. But I want to start off with a question. What comes to mind when you think of something as minor? M-I-N-O-R, the adjective. Maybe you ordered a book and it just had some minor damage to it, insignificant. Maybe you were trying to get to church on time this morning and there was a minor disagreement about what time everyone needed to get into the car. Thanks, Isaac. Maybe as you got in the car and you turned onto the road that connects to your house, maybe you live off of a side road, a minor road, a road that's not as significant. Maybe the name doesn't even show up on Google Maps. What about when you put that adjective in front of surgery? Minor surgery. It's been said that minor surgery is anything done to someone other than yourself, right? Less invasive, shorter perhaps, but no less critical or necessary. I want to get us started on where I'd like to go for the first few months of this next year. I'd like to begin a series of sermons on the minor prophets. 12 prophets. You can turn over there to Hosea. We just got done reading Hosea a few weeks ago. But if you take in your hand Hosea and you turn to Matthew and you hold those pages in your hand, at least in my Bible, you have about 50 pages out of more than 1,000 pages of the Old and New Testament put together. That's less than 5% of the entire Bible. I know I've treated the minor prophets as something minor or unimportant or insignificant, and they become a mystery to me, and sometimes I catch myself being ignorant of what these men had to say. But if an inspired prophet is speaking and revealing God to us, speaking for God and revealing some of who God is, then there's nothing minor about the influence that they can have in our life. Exodus chapter 20 seems to be the beginning of the need for a prophet. Isaac mentioned that this is right after the Ten Commandments have been given. Exodus 20, verse 1, "And God spoke all these words," and then he gives the Ten Commandments. Now, I want you to think about the passage that he read, but bring to mind a time, maybe you've experienced this, when weather or nature has caught you unaware or overexposed. Have you ever been in a highway blizzard when the snow is falling, when the wind is blowing, and you can't see to go in front of you, but you know you can't stop because of the semi that's coming behind you that you can't see either? Those of us who've been through that, we smile about it now, but there's no smiling in the car in that moment as you grip the steering wheel and hope that you can get through this moment when the power surrounds you and you just want to be anywhere but right there. Maybe if it's not a highway blizzard, maybe it's a tornado and the hail that sometimes is accompanied by those sudden and devastating storms. Maybe it's a hurricane or maybe it's an earthquake. Maybe it's a hunting trip or a vacation that your family takes and you get caught and it causes you to fear because you realize the power that is surrounding you. The Ten Commandments is a well-known story, but the people stand at the foot of the mountain and God speaks and they hear thunder and they hear trumpets and they see lightning and they see smoke and they fear God. God has just freed them and he is revealing himself to his people that he has just rescued out of slavery. And they get a glimpse of God and they say, "It is too much for us. We do not want to see God for all that he is. Herein lies the birth of the prophet. You might think of verses like Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. What is the whole duty of man? It's to fear God and then to keep his commandments. When the people realize that God is awesome and that he is bigger than they are, and that just a glimpse of him is more than they want to have anything to do with, they realize there is nothing to protect them from God except God himself. And God says, yes, that is where you need to start. Turn over to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy is Moses, who I'm looking to as the first prophet. And Moses is retelling what was going on in Exodus chapter 20. So in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. Why? Because the people said, we don't want God to speak to us. Moses, we want you to go and speak with God and then come and tell us, because we can't take it standing in front of God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. This is Moses speaking. Like Moses from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again of the voice of the Lord my God, or see his great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. To fear God and to realize God is not made in the image of man. God is much greater than we could ever comprehend. And God says, what they realize is right, but they still need to know about me. Verse 18, God says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him, or they will be accountable to me if they do not listen to the prophet. If we're on a journey of apprehending God and trying to understand and catch a glimpse of who God is, then the prophets are the road on this journey. We follow the prophets and they point us and they take us and they direct us to who God is. The prophet takes us step by step on this journey, progressively revealing wisdom and fear and the majesty that we can't comprehend, and they leave us awed at who God is and yet desiring a little more. And there's nothing insignificant about an inspired prophet who reveals God more fully to us. So what about the prophets? Beginning from Moses and going through Samuel and Elijah and Elisha on into the minor prophets, and perhaps one of the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, who shows up in the New Testament as we know. All of these inspired prophets lead us to the prophet. Did you catch in Deuteronomy 18? God says, I will raise up for you a man from among the brothers like Moses. This is a foreshadowing of Christ. Each of the prophets from here until Christ are leading us to the prophet, which is Jesus Christ. All of the inspired prophets lead to Jesus Christ. There's a saying, it goes like this. It says, all roads lead to Rome. It says that there's a lot of ways to get to one goal. We may use that more broadly. But the phrase, all roads lead to Rome, traces back to this golden milestone that was in the ancient city of Rome. There's a structure that's there now, and it's debated whether that's the original structure or not. But this ancient milestone, the Malarium Aureum, that's how I pronounce it. I don't know if that's the correct Greek or Romish or whatever the pronunciation is. But the Malarium Aureum is a golden milestone. And it sat in the middle of the city, and all of the Roman roads started at that milestone. And all distances in the Roman kingdom were measured from that milestone. Maybe you've been over to Palmer, to downtown Palmer, and you've seen that list of all of the cities and the distance from Palmer to those various cities, right? It's a little over 4,000 miles to Moscow, and it's just about 4,000 miles to Abilene, Texas. So, you know, if that means something to you. But they had that list of major cities saying, from this place where all Roman roads lead, this is how far it is to this major city, and this is a major city that is connected. And so if you find yourself on any road throughout the Roman Empire, you can follow that road one direction. And where's it going to take you? It's going to take you to the golden milestone. It's going to take you to the place of power and of safety and of authority and of riches. Might we say the same about God's inspired prophets? Pick a prophet and follow his inspired writings. And where's the golden milestone? It's Jesus Christ. All inspired prophets lead to the prophet. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll come back to Deuteronomy 18. But I want us to notice, Peter tells us something here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 9, he's talking about the great joy that wells up inside of disciples and Christians when they think about the great salvation and grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then Peter says something very interesting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The Spirit of Christ pointing the prophets to the glory and suffering that was to come. But notice here, verse 12, it was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. They, the prophets, it says that they knew that they were our servants. Peter is writing to Christians. He's writing to us. And he's saying all of those prophets in the Old Testament, the ones that you're aware of and the ones that we tend to skip over, they knew that they were pointing you to the prophet. Hebrews 1 starts off by saying that in the past, God spoke. God revealed himself to the fathers by the prophets. But who does God speak through? Who does God reveal himself through to us today? He says, today he speaks to us through his Son, through the prophet, the one prophesied from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Because Jesus and all of the inspired prophets, their job was to make God known, because the people stood before the mountain and said, God is too awesome for us to comprehend. We want a prophet to speak to us. John chapter 1, verse 18. Turn there on our way back to Deuteronomy. This is speaking about Jesus, but the other prophets follow him in line here. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. No one has ever seen God. Mine has a little semicolon, pause. No one has ever seen God. the only God who is at the Father's side, Jesus Christ, what has he done? He has made God known. That's the job of the prophets. If you want to know what God would do in a certain situation, you look to the prophets. If you want to know what God would do and what God looks like and how he acts and how he thinks, then you look to Jesus Christ. Even the minor roads linked the major roads and led to the great city of Rome and that golden milestone. Even the minor prophets point to the prophet, and all of them show us and bring us closer to who God is. And brothers and sisters, there is nothing unimportant about a prophet who points the way to Jesus Christ. Ask the angels, because it got their attention. But there's something else. We stand on the road of the prophets and we look down and we know that it leads us to God. And that in and of itself is awesome. But roads go two ways. And you can turn the other way on the road. Go back to Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Remember where the prophets came from. Were they locked away in some room? Did all of the Old Testament happen and then God's like, wait a minute, I got some more things to say, so I'm going to have these 12 guys say something before I'm silent for 400 years. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet who's floated down on a golden platter. Is that what it says? He says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. Think about Moses. Where did Moses come from? Moses was an Israelite. Jarrett read for us the beginning story of Jesus. Where did Jesus come from? Did he pop out of a hole in the ground? No, he came from among the people. He was born of a virgin. And so you look down the road one direction and you know that it goes to God. But if you learn about Moses, then you learn about Moses' people. If you learn about Jesus, you learn about Jesus' people. If you follow the prophets back far enough, then you learn about your ancestors, your spiritual ancestors. You learn something about what they were going through, about how they lived. The minor prophets were not armchair quarterbacks who sat back the day after the game and said, well, if I was in, I would have done this. They were in the game, making decisions and preaching. They weren't backseat drivers having all of the answers but having no responsibility. They weren't movie critics who sat back and criticized everything else but didn't have any criticism for their own people or themselves. These men were real individuals living in history. So take those 12 books that are at the end of the Old Testament and realize that they're scattered throughout the book of Kings and throughout the book of Chronicles. They had incisive messages to our ancestors. I'd like to read to you the image of a prophet. Now, this is about Jeremiah, who was considered one of the major prophets, but I think we can look to him also and consider the minor prophets in the same spirit as Jeremiah. No doubt the prophets were bold proclaimers, but to envision them as harsh and heartless is to misread the biblical text. Was any prophet more bold than Jeremiah? The prophet who courageously delivered the temple sermon in Jeremiah chapter 7. This is the same man who functioned like a gentle priest after the destruction of the holy city. He walked amid the ruins of Jerusalem. He observed the pain and the suffering. And you know what Jeremiah did? He cried. Like a minister who cries when he announces a member and friend has died or has left, so Jeremiah cried at the deaths of his beloved people. He even went on to write a book encapsulating his emotions and thoughts, and he called it Crying, or as we might call it today, Lamentations. The image of the cold prophet who doesn't care about his audience isn't true. They did care deeply. And that's why they preached. And that's why they lived among the people. What was life like in 700 BC as Israel peaked in its in its fame. What was life like? Well, go to Hosea and Amos and Jonah and Micah. They were raised from among the people, and they were of the people, and they were with the people. There's nothing minor about the influence of a man who's striving to reveal God to his brothers and sisters. How about in 650 BC when Judah found itself alone and Israel was carried off into captivity? You go to Nahum and Zephaniah, and where Kings tracks the history of the people, these prophets give us the spiritual condition, a spiritual history of our spiritual ancestors. And there's nothing unimportant about the spiritual lives of God's people throughout history. How difficult was it for the exiles in 600 BC, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel? Well, go and read Habakkuk and his personal complaint about God. Where is God when evil reigns is his question. And there are profound lessons from this man whose prophecy is all about his personal struggles with his faith. How about 500 BC? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, they're trying to rebuild their broken lives and their broken families and their broken faith. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are still preaching that same message that Jesus preaches later: give God your best and help those who are in need. Maybe these were minor men who didn't have a great quantity of things to say, but they had a major faith. And their issues and their challenges were powerful. And so you follow the Roman road, or you follow the road of the prophets, and it'll take you to the city and it'll take you to God. But if you follow the road the other way and you get in depth into who these men were, then it takes you closer to the people. I live on a small street. It's really not that important of a road. But you know where that road goes? It goes to my house. And that's my home. And that's where my family lives. And if you want to know something about me, then follow that little road and come to my home. Follow the side roads to the homes and families and see the spiritual commitments of God's people. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "There are secret things that we will never know about God, and they belong to God and they are His. But then there are things that He has revealed to us." And you know who those are for? The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, who live in our homes. There are no minor people in God's sight. And He sends the prophets down these small country roads because He cares about every one of His people. He even sends His prophets outside of His people, to the Assyrians, and to those of Edom, and to all of these other countries. And He sends them because there is not a soul that He is not seeking. And there's nothing unimportant about the spiritual journey of mankind. There's no insignificant prophets. They didn't see themselves as unimportant. They didn't see themselves as over-important. They weren't wonder workers who always had the right answer, but they embraced the role of pointing nations to the prophet who could fully explain who God was. Follow any inspired prophet, and they will teach you something about God, and they will teach you something about His people. Follow a faithful disciple, and they will do the same thing for you. They will teach you something about God, and they'll teach you something about His people. I thank you for teaching me something about God this year. I thank you for letting me into your life this year. I hope I can do the same for you. Brothers and sisters, there are no minor Christians, because it's through our life and it's through our speech that we reveal the God of the universe. I'd like to borrow a theme from a camp, a Christian camp that I attended. They said, "Come, this is a place where everything points to Christ." May our homes be a place where everything points to Christ. May the Valley Church of Christ, if we are nothing, we are of Christ. And may everything we do point back to Christ and the prophet that he represented. Point to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Read about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Remember Israel. They feared God, but weeks later they rejected Moses. Do we fear God and reject Jesus? Let's not treat Jesus like one of the minor prophets. And maybe over the next few months we cannot treat the minor prophets like we treat the minor prophets. Let's treat them as prophets who are revealers of our awesome God. There's nothing insignificant about those who reveal God. There is great power and influence in pointing to God. I look forward to going on this journey with you. I appreciate your time this morning. May God bless us in this journey. May God bless you in the coming year. If the church can help you, if the elders can pray for you, if we can draw you in and help you on your journey toward God and connecting with His people, then please come forward. Let's stand and sing together.